In a nameless city, somewhere in the Middle East, there's a gate. People stand in front of it for hours, days, waiting for permission. Permission to get on with their lives, do the things they want to do. But the gate never opens. It sounds like Kafka or Orwell, but in fact, it's writer Basma Abdel Aziz's dystopian take on life in Cairo today. Her new novel, The Queue, takes place after a popular revolution has toppled one dictator, only to have another faceless authority take his place. Does this sound familiar? Basma is a psychiatrist, as well as a writer. She works for the Nadim Center for Victims of Torture in Cairo. She was part of the Tahrir Square protests in 2011. And she says that in the 5 years since President Hosni Mubarak was ousted, the new regime has become just as oppressive.
Well, the main change here is becoming more aggressive, becoming more oppressive. Many, many people, maybe thousands of people, are now imprisoned, and there are more restrictions on the freedom of expression. Me, myself, I'm facing this in publishing some of my books. So they just come to be much more violent with people. They want to oppress any different voice from expressing anything that is not supporting the current regime.
You see this firsthand. You work as a psychiatrist with victims of torture at the Nadim Center in Cairo. Can you tell me something about the patients you see?
For victims of torture at this moment, I can say that torture become much more frequent and much more violent, that many people die under torture. And during Mubarak eras, we used to count the victims of torture who die by year. But now we are counting by week and sometimes by day.
So the number of people who are dying under torture is escalating?
Yeah, it's escalating, yeah.
You see people who have not died of torture and are trying to pull themselves back to life. Tell me about one or two of them.
Okay, let me tell you about a man who was tortured, and he was raped in the police station, and I saw blood on his clothes, and he was just crying. So this was one of the worst cases I have seen, because this man was detained once again by the police officers and re-tortured, and I couldn't do anything about this. I couldn't protect him.
What do you say when you first meet with somebody like that?
First, to assure the victim. And second is to believe everything he tells, even if it does not seem so making sense to me. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes victims of torture are not concentrating enough. This is a part of the trauma they received. So I have to tell him that I believe everything he is saying, and just gradually we start to make sense of what happened. And of course, I have to tell a victim of torture that I am not offering him a full protection, because I'm not actually. So he has to make his priorities. He has to tell me what he wants to do. If he just wants some psychotherapy, some medications to help him continuing his life, it's okay. If he doesn't want any medications or any psychiatric assistant, and he just wants a lawyer to raise a case in front of the court and do lawful issues, I can tell him where to find a lawyer. I can bring him a lawyer. So it's all about the priorities of the victim. I can just give an advice to him.
How do you deal with it yourself? I mean, it's terrible hearing about it. You treat all these people. It must be traumatizing for you as well.
Yes, it is. And, well, I stopped seeing patients on a regular basis since 2012. So it's a burning out syndrome when you feel you are not capable of hearing more about this. Sometimes I feel helpless. in front of the victims. I cannot protect, I cannot even bring their torturers to justice in front of the court. This is the issue here.
Mm. So you also write, what were you wanting to do with this novel? Tell me more about what you were thinking about. Because it's partly, I don't know what you'd call it, fantasy, surrealist, dystopia?
Yeah, it's all.
Yeah.
Well, when I started to write this novel, actually I was just walking downtown, going to finish some of my paperwork, and I just saw a number of people standing in front of a governmental building while the door is closed. After 2 hours, I came back through the same pathway, and I saw same people standing in the same row in front of the same building, and the door is also closed. So I started to ask myself, why are people keeping standing here? Many people, not only in Egyptian community, like to have this patriarchal authority in their lives, like to have this father figure always. And what I'm trying to do in all my writings, or most of my writings, is to undermine and break down this authority figure and this father figure, whether religious or political or whatever.
That sort of raises the question, does political protest even work? I mean, you were there in the Tahrir Square protests, this huge popular uprising. Do you now feel, looking back, that it failed?
Well, I wouldn't say it has failed. People has broken the fears inside themselves, fears from facing the authority, fears from facing these patriarchal figures, fears from changing life, and even fears from expressing their dreams and their needs. So now they are not scared anymore from facing authority, from facing security forces. They keep on just demanding. So I will just think that this will continue for a while to change the current situation.
Hmm. Do you think there will be another uprising, another revolution? And I have to say, you know, you have a history as a kind of prophet. I mean, you wrote one book, The Temptation of Absolute Authority, in which you predicted a popular uprising. And that book, I think, I'm right, was released one day before the January Revolution.
Yeah, yeah, you are totally right. Well, let's say I'm hoping to have another uprising in the coming few years, because I think that people are smart enough to realize that this extreme oppression and violence is not the solution for the bad situation in Egypt, not the solution for the economic deterioration, not the solution for anything. And their needs are not yet fulfilled or satisfied on the ground. So there will be another movement or uprising to correct this situation. But people are now so exhausted. And I think this will take a few years, maybe. Let's hope.
Hmm. Is there a cost to you personally just saying that out loud? Aren't you in danger?
I guess that everyone living in Egypt now is in danger. Actually, many of my friends and colleagues are now in prison. So if you're asking me, I'm vulnerable, yes, I am. But it's not a choice to give up and to stop writing or stop helping victims. It's not a choice to me. So I will keep doing what I have to do. And I'm just hoping that results are somehow positive.
Basma Abdel Aziz is an Egyptian journalist and psychiatrist who treats torture victims at Cairo's Nadim Center. The Q is her first book translated into English. She lives in Cairo.